2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we're going to get to here. I wanted to share some things regarding thankfulness. Thankfulness is it's an absolutely vital part of the successful walk of a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. We'll see in one place in the Word that thankfulness is bred out of a recognition, an awareness of God's grace and what He's wrought in Christ. We'll see that thankfulness is also a part of what protects us from the wiles of the devil, from the things that the world constantly presents that knock on our door. Thankfulness is something or a part or an ingredient of that which keeps our hearts from being overwhelmed. And on the other side of the coin, unthankfulness breeds discontent. And that usually ends in a search for contentment. And that often doesn't end well. People look for contentment in the flesh, and but the flesh is never satisfied. Never, it's never enough. Whatever it is, and where that lands, which we'll see a little later, is that person in not acknowledging God and in allowing unthankfulness to rule the day, they end up in some form or another worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And so it is a really a vital part of the walk and the life of a believer. And it's something that we want to grow in. And we're going to see that. This is going to be pretty simple. There's a lot of places we can go and look at thankfulness. The Psalms. Praise and thankfulness are kind of their buddies. And that praise and thankfulness is it's an important part of keeping your heart, keeping your eyes on what God has done and who God is and what is true. It really is. It helps to keep our heart, our perspective, where it should be, rather than where it shouldn't be. So before we read here in 2 Corinthians, I wanted to share this verse. We're not going to turn there, but it's in 2 Chronicles. And this is the record where Hezekiah is really starting to set things back in order. They had gone through this period of time with Ahaz. Ahaz wasn't a good guy. He had walked away from God. He took stuff out of the temple, and just, it was a nasty business. And Hezekiah was beginning to set things right. And in chapter 31, it's his setting back in order because they had neglected the the services, they had neglected the sacrifices, they had neglected the duties of the priests and of the Levites. You know, David had originally set up an order for the Levites to serve. Well, that had all gone by the wayside. So here's Hezekiah, and it's kind of neat. And it's in verse 2, and it's as at the beginning of his getting this put back together. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses. Every man according to his service. The priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. See, that thanks and that praise was really a vital part of getting things back together, getting Israel, you know, looking to God. And I'll tell you something, you know, there had been some real problems with Ahaz, but you know, later on, and you guys, and I'm going to bring this up because you're familiar with the record, these people got to a place, you remember when Rabshakeh and all that, and they came down and laid siege? Boy, those people got to a place where none of them said anything. And they saw God's deliverance in a big way. Well, this is kind of the start of it, you know, to get their heart back to where it needed to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is a record we're familiar with. We heard some of this in manifestations this morning. I want to begin in verse 1, just because this section is hard to pick a verse where to start. But it opens with, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And it's referring back to the ministry of the Spirit in chapter 3. This ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We're not discouraged. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, we got nothing to hide. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds or the thinking process of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That glorious gospel of Christ is representative of God, of God's grace, of God's love, you know, of who God is. In a couple of verses we're going to read it, it's in the face of Jesus Christ. It's so awesome. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for his sake. Important to understand as we read. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? God. May be of God, and not of us. For we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair or overly so. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of, and King James reads the Lord Jesus, it should read of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's pretty, they did what they did. as servant of Jesus Christ. And all of this stuff that they went through in these earthen vessels, it was the deliverance. It was the deliverance from all of these things that demonstrated the life of the Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, who delivered them out of these things. See? Isn't that something? You know, I mean, it was one place where Paul was stoned and they left him for dead. And he got up and walked into town. See, it was the demonstration of the living Lord. So awesome. See, so that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, in this earthen vessel. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made clear, manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of believing, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. See, our words, our life, what I do is based on what I believe. See, this is true. It was genuine. Paul, he was being accused of other things, but it was true. It was genuine. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many may redound or abound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, or we are not discouraged. I'm going to read these verses from the ESV, which is similar to the working translation. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. See? So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. See? It's really something. What they so joyed in was that more and more were seeing that grace of God. And the more that saw the grace of God, the more thankfulness abounded to the glory of God. Isn't that something? That thankfulness brings glory to God. That's one of the things thankfulness does. When a saint is looking at his God, at his Lord, at his hope, and is acknowledging the grace that's been demonstrated in Jesus Christ, that thankfulness will stick out like a bright light as opposed to a sore thumb. But it'll stick out like a bright light in this world. That kind of thankfulness, that kind of heart. And it brings glory to God. Isn't that something? It might even cause people to, you know, maybe inquire as to why you're thankful. What's the reason for this hope in you? Something like that. Now I'm going to keep reading here. Just a couple more verses. Verse 16 again, for which cause we're not discouraged, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a what? A moment. Works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. Isn't that beautiful? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. Oh, we are in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 9. This is sort of a whole subject on its own, but I just want to hit on this. This chapter is, I refer to it as a thankfulness casserole. Okay, because it's just thankfulness all the way around. It's pretty neat. Speaking to the church at Corinth, they had voiced a desire to help and to give. And so the Apostle Paul, by revelation, is bringing that up to them. And in verse 6, he says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of grief or of necessity, you know, out of compulsion, because I have to. For God what? God loves a cheerful giver." And you know, and this is in the sense, it's not like, you know, God hates somebody who doesn't give. That's not what this is saying. But cheerful giving, God loves that. He just loves that. It's just one of those things that brings a smile to God's face. That cheerful giving. Because who is the epitome of cheerful giving?
Jesus Christ.
Well, God is. He gave his son on behalf of a world that was in enmity against him. There's a place where it says he causes the sun and the rain to the unthankful. That doesn't stop him. That's a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. See, he's the epitome of that. And so, you know, that cheerful giving, it is emulating God. And that makes God smile. He likes that. I love that. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Isn't that beautiful? That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every or in every good work. God is able to make that grace abound towards you. See? Those things that you do according to the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, God equips you with the grace to carry those things out according to his word, according to his working. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever it is, sometimes we limit this to the physical. God is able to make all grace, but it's so much bigger than that. Is that your only need? Physical? No, not even close. Right? You ever need wisdom? You ever need them? You know what I mean? You need to help somebody. You want to get up and help, and you don't know how to help. Can God help with that? Yeah, God can help with that. All of these things. And these things, as we're going to see here, it breeds thankfulness. It just breeds thankfulness. It brings thankfulness in your heart. Boy, when God gives you the grace to carry something out, are you thankful? What about the person on the receiving end of that? Are they thankful? God's thankful. You got yourself a thankful casserole. Right? It's what it looks like. It's beautiful. Verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, or it means integrity, with all integrity, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Isn't that something? And it all brings glory to God. You know, the people who give, who are the cheerful givers, get blessed by God. They're thankful. The people that receive and have their needs met, they're thankful. Isn't that awesome? It's just this thing. You know, I've heard it called like a virtuous cycle. It is. It's like a virtuous cycle. And all of that, it just breeds thankfulness. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And then we're going to spend a few minutes in Colossians. This is a verse most of you guys know by heart. And it's a good verse to kind of know by heart. Verse 6, it says, be careful or anxious. It's that word, it's divided in mind. Be anxious for nothing. But, so this is set in contrast. In contrast to being anxious, or in contrast to divided in mind, in everything by prayer, supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See? Thankfulness is an ingredient in that. That prayer with thankfulness, going to God with thankfulness. In recognition of who he is, you know, and what he's done, and recognition of the grace. And it really does... You know, it just helps the heart from being overwhelmed. There are things that come up in life that can be pretty heavy. But when it's all said and done, we have eternal life. When it's all said and done, we're going to dwell with and know Jesus Christ and God. Right? When it's all said and done. We have much to be thankful for. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple things here. Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read this prayer beginning in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, and he's what they had heard was these believers in Colossae, which is a pretty small fellowship, but he had heard about their love, he'd heard about their, you know, just their desire, pretty neat, their believing. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that understanding is that, you know, boom, putting it together. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy or worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. And again, that word worthily is, it's in balance with your calling, that you might walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Okay. And you're going to see four things that are listed here emanating from this walking worthily, walking in balance with your calling. The first one is bearing fruit, being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge or the acknowledgement of God. You're increasing or you're growing in your acknowledgement of God. And that, remember that word acknowledgement, it's more than a knowledge of God. That acknowledgement is the kind of knowledge that has an effect on you, on your heart, on how you see things, on how you live. See? So I'm growing in that. That's the second thing listed here. Strengthened, verse 11, with all might, according to his glorious power, unto or with a view to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Isn't that beautiful? And that, you know, and I love this. It's like a, and this is the purpose of the power. It's a nice definition of this is where it lands at. It's a calm delight in the face of, you know, trouble, whatever the world's throwing. There's just something inside. There's an inner calmness. You know, it doesn't mean you're oblivious. It doesn't mean you don't see. It doesn't mean you're ignoring. It doesn't mean any of those things. But God's in this with you. And then, here's number four. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who's delivered us from that authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that thankfulness is something that issues from that walking worthily, that walking, you know, your calling, walking in balance with that calling. Thankfulness. Let's go to, flip the page to Colossians 3. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to skip this one. I wanted to read this in Colossians 2. Let's pick it up in verse 6. In verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay? This sort of harkens back to verse 4 of chapter 1, where he had heard of their believing and their love to all the saints. Okay? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the believing, in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with what?
Thanksgiving.
You know, and this rooted is a, you know, you were rooted. The rest of these, you know, built up in him, thanksgiving, all of these things are in the present tense. It's an ongoing thing that results from having been rooted in him. And thanksgiving is a, it's a vital part of that. It's a vital part of that. Let's go to chapter 3 now. Let's pick it up in verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. That's the standard of forgiveness. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond or the uniting bond of perfectness or maturity, that love. And let the peace of Christ, is how it should read, let the peace of Christ rule or umpire in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ, or regarding Christ, dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And then it should read to God. That thankfulness. And here, it's an imperative. See, it's an imperative. It's an imperative to the believer. Thankfulness helps to keep our hearts, again, our hearts and perspective where they need to be. Right? So that, boy, when the adversary comes pounding, I don't get taken out. Let's go to let's look at 1 Thessalonians. So it's just so direct. It's so to the point. This is one of those imperatives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is how we wait for the return of Christ. We wait for the hope. And down in verse 16, it's rejoice evermore. It's an imperative. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then quench not the Spirit. In everything give thanks. That is an attitude of heart. It's not that I'm necessarily thankful. Oh, God, thank you for this headache I have right now. I just love this. It's not what it's teaching. But that no matter what's going on, I am thankful to my God. Whatever it is that I'm dealing with, whatever it is I'm going through in my life, it is in light of who I am in Christ. Right? And all of those things. And thankfulness is a vital, vital part of that. It helps to keep my heart where it needs to be. Let's go to Hebrews 13, and then we're going to close in Psalm. I wanted to read this. There are so many great sections we could go to regarding thankfulness. You know, Romans 1 talks about the opposite of this. How they became unthankful in their hearts. And how that they were without excuse. You know what? I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there with me if you want to. You're more than welcome. Romans chapter 1, I think it's in 18. Yeah, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed, the wrath from which we've been delivered, by the way, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, or it's been made clear in them or among them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or divine nature, so that they are without excuse. God can't be missed. The fact that there's a creator cannot be missed. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain or futile in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? They fools. Yeah. And then it begins to list all of these things that they declared to be wisdom, that they declared to be enlightenment, but were in fact darkness. Were in fact the worshiping of the creator more than the creation. You ever hear such a thing? See? And really, it was they're becoming unthankful. They were no longer content and began looking at the creation for that contentment. I think there's a verse somewhere that says godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
Great gain. See? That's beautiful. Okay, Hebrews. Hebrews 13. This is a sort of a referencing to the sacrifices that were offered by Israel, which are no more. But in verse 14 it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Isn't that beautiful? It is something that is well pleasing to God. That sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. It's pleasing to him. Then it says in verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate or fellowship, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? He's well pleased." Isn't that something? That the, you know, really, it's that sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. It is a part of you being that living sacrifice and bringing glory to God by my words, by the words of my lips. And let's close in a psalm. Psalm 100. Be ye thankful. Verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Sounds like a song. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's the truth. That's the truth. And, you know, here in the Psalms, it's speaking, you know, enter into the gates, praise with thanksgiving. But you and I, we have access to the throne of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you really understand that and understand the great grace that's been demonstrated, exhibited by God, it's really humbling to know that you're praying to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It becomes much deeper, much more real than just a recitation of some things I need. You know? And the more we grow in that, you know, the more thankful we become. And our prayers begin to change. You know, they go from kind of a concentration on self to really more of a concentration on God and who He is. And boy, there's a lot of freedom in that. There's nothing wrong with praying for things. Don't misunderstand. You know, we can lay things before our Heavenly Father. We ask, we pray for brothers and sisters, and we do that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But I think you understand the heart of what I mean. It just becomes more than just a listing. You know, so that's how when kids learn, that's how they learn. Yeah, thank you for mommy. Thank you for daddy. Thank you. You forgot Owen. Sorry, Owen. You know what I mean? That's how they learn. It's wonderful. But we grow, you know, and where it's more of a heart, you know, that heart communication with our Heavenly Father, which is what He desires. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. He knows our problems. So...